Welcome to Thrive Diaries, the podcast for busy people who want to live their best life. I'm your host, Liz Douglas, former food buyer turned plant-based foodie influencer who is obsessed with personal growth and wellness. Thank you for being here and let's get into today's episode. Hello, it is Liz here. I wanted to share with you an episode today on social media and how I grew my Instagram account by another 40,000 Instagram followers, or actually a little over that, about 42,000 followers in just under 30 days. So I already have quite an established Instagram account. If you don't follow me, if you're just a podcast listener, it's Vegan Diaries with three underscores on the end on Insta. And to give you a little bit of background before I get into the past 30 days. So I grew my account mostly last year in 2022. I had a big growth where I went from like maybe 12,000 followers up to 120,000 followers in the space. Most of that growth actually happened across a few months, but I pretty much plateaued at 120,000 followers for about 6 months because I just wasn't focusing on the account. I had a lot of other things going on in my life towards the end of last year, and the account really plateaued for a while. And I sort of started to think that I'm like, oh, okay, maybe like, you know, I just had this one big push of growth, and then I'm not really going to see much more from that anymore. And to be honest, I was starting to get into this like negative headspace a little bit with it, where I was feeling a bit down about it. And if you do want to hear, by the way, I should say as well, if you do want to hear more about my like Instagram kind of growth story a little bit and how I did that through reels and everything, originally, there are some older episodes on the podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes, which you can go back and listen to when I had that first initial growth last year, because I was very, very excited and totally overwhelmed by the amount of followers that I grew in such a short amount of time when I had been like, cause just for reference, I've had the Instagram account since like late 2019 and I've been working on it for like 2 years and it took me that long to get to even just 12,000 followers. So all of this growth is just like, you know, exponential compared to what I have seen in the past. But anyway, back onto the more recent push of followers. So the way that I kind of reinvigorated my Instagram account after this sort of lull, I suppose, of content where I hadn't really been putting that much time and effort into the page was basically just to get back into this mindset of like, no, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be posting regularly and it's all going to be focused on really high quality video recipes. And it took me a little while to actually start seeing any results from this. And it always does, I would say, when it comes to Instagram reels too. You're never going to just post one or two reels and then see a sudden spike in your followers. I mean, unless you get really lucky. I do know there are some content creators out there who have seen that. But personally for me, especially if I've taken a little bit of a break from social media and Instagram, I feel like the algorithm takes a little bit of time just to warm back up to you again, right? So I started posting quite a bit in the lead up to Christmas. I posted maybe like 5 or 6 Christmas themed sort of recipes. And then I tried to consistently post throughout January. And then boom, in January, it started to work again. The reels that I had posted actually prior to Christmas, I had put more time and effort into, ironically, it's always the way, but they didn't really perform that well. They kind of performed pretty average, to be honest, considering the number of followers that I have. I might have been only reaching maybe like 50,000 people or 60,000 people or so, which was about half the number of followers that I had. But that's okay. I kind of knew that this was how it was going to work. And then once I started to continually post in January more regularly, that was when I started to see sudden growth. And again, what happened, similar to what happened the first time when I had a huge influx of followers, was that I had a few reels go viral at the same time. And this is the best feeling in the whole world, guys. Like, I can't even tell you. When you have got like all of these new followers coming in a day, and I'm talking like, you know, one day I had like 3,000 followers come in. Like, it is a pretty cool feeling. Because it's basically like this culmination of work where you're sort of ticking along, ticking along, ticking along, and nothing's really happening. And then you're like, okay, okay, just got to keep having the faith and believing that it's all going to pay off. And then boom, you get this exponential growth. And it literally, like, I'll try and find, see if I can get a screenshot of maybe the last 90 days or something. It'll show you where it's like, you know, very minimal growth. So a little graph with like a tiny little blip running along very close to the zero bar, you know what I mean? And then suddenly the graph, the line of the graph just shoots up into the sky. And that is how quickly things can change on social media these days with video content. content. It really is just incredible. But anyway, the things that I was actually doing aside from being consistent, it was always focusing on keeping my videos really high quality too. So lighting when it comes to food videos, I've talked about this before in other episodes as well, but lighting is so crucial. So making sure that I was always getting morning light as much as I could, making, again, multiple videos a week, making sure that they were recipes that were either I saw the potential where they could trend or where they were maybe a twist on a trend. And then once one video started taking off, I was like, cool, what is it about this video that is working? You know, what did I say in the video? What was the hook? Like, what was my kind of introductory, like, call to action, I suppose, for the viewer? And I'm just looking back at my feed now, actually, as I'm doing this. Okay, so for example, I posted a bunch of recipes right before Christmas. They didn't really do so well, but then I posted a cauliflower Alfredo, and I had a feeling that this was going to perform quite well because I know that people generally like pasta dishes on social media because they're really easy and people are always super curious about the whole creamy plant-based pasta thing because they always think that you need to have dairy cream to make something creamy. But anyhow, I posted this cauliflower Alfredo recipe. It took off. It's now has 5.1 million views. I think it's stopped growing now. And I was like, okay, amazing. So then I was like, what is it about this video that does really well? Maybe it's the fact that it's creamy pasta. So then I went and made like another video of an old recipe that I'd already done before. And that old video hadn't actually performed very well. It was an avocado and spinach and basil pasta with sun-dried tomatoes. That video that I did previously, like, and I'm talking like months ago, it was okay. It wasn't amazing. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to use that same recipe and make a new video for it because it's kind of similar to the cauliflower Alfredo. And then boom, that one took off as well. So that one is now at 6.5 million views. Then I was like, oh my God, it's all about the creamy pastas. So I made another one, which was like carbonara with a tofu bacon. That one didn't perform so well. And then I also was doing some kind of pantry staple recipes too. Like I did a mayonnaise one. I did like a sweetened condensed milk one. I did like some crackers and things like that. And none of those performed amazingly well. I was just like experimenting, I suppose. But then I did another creamy pasta, which was like this miso pasta that did okay. And then randomly I did this chia mousse. It's so funny as well. This is something always to keep in mind with social media. You never know what's going to work. So there is an element of like volume and variety and experimentation that you have to keep in mind when you do these things. But yeah, I made this chia mousse, which is basically a chia pudding blended up in a blender so that it's smooth, but it looks kind of like a chocolate mousse. Anyway, that one got to 1.4 million views. And then I also made a tofu schnitzel. Now, this was a video that I had seen by another content creator, but it's something that I actually had a recipe for myself already and was making myself. And I knew that her video had done really well. And her handle is It's Vegan Sis. So I was like, okay, well, this video worked really well for her. I'm going to try it with my own recipe. And I guess this is how content creators, you know, find inspiration from other people and how trends kind of start. But yeah, so I made a video of the tofu schnitzel and then that one got to, I think, 4.5 million views as well. So I basically had all of these videos kind of not exactly at the same time, but they were like in different stages, I guess, of going viral, like at different points, because there was like a couple of weeks between posting all of these. Anyway, so they're all taking off and then boom, you know, you're just getting so many more followers, lots of comments. And it was really cool because I was like, oh wow, okay, my Instagram account is not dead. Sometimes you just have these doubts as a content creator where you've had like a bit of a lull and you're in a bit of a like shit posting kind of phase, or not shit posting, but like you're just not really like hitting the mark on your content and you start to like have a little bit of self-doubt. And so it's always really reassuring when you have these moments of growth because you're like, yes, no, I still got it. Of course, that is always tempered by the fact that you know that you can also go back into that shit phase again anytime. So there's always peaks and troughs with social media. But yeah, basically it was all about consistency and then making sure that I was spotting trends and trying to replicate similar videos. I did try and do some more creamy pasta videos, by the way, I should say too, which didn't all work, like that tofu carbonara thing that I did. And then I also did like a pumpkin mac and cheese. I did like a sun-dried tomato pasta and they didn't really perform as well. They did okay, but like not amazing. So you sort of will exhaust some ideas or like some gold veins of like content ideas quicker than others, but you never know. And that's, again, like, as I say, it's all about experimentation and trying a variety of different things too. And I suppose the hardest part when it comes to all of this, right, is that you want to be putting out a certain volume of content. You know, 3 videos a week is always my recommendation for anybody who wants to grow. If you can do more than that, amazing. But to be honest, I find it hard to be quite consistent with more than 3 videos a week. So you're trying to put out all of this content, and especially if you're like a foodie content creator as well, like there's a lot that goes behind making each recipe, right? You want it to be good because shit, if it goes viral and people start making it, you want them to give you good reviews. You don't want something to go viral and then people are like, this was terrible. So there's a lot of work that goes into the recipe development behind food videos. It depends if you are doing some other kind of niche, then it might not be quite as laborious. But yeah, I fully appreciate how hard it is to actually stay consistent with those 3 videos a week, let alone, you know, managing any more than that. But basically, it's all about striking this balance between having the consistency and that consistent volume of, say, 3 videos a week, and then also making sure that the quality is really, really good, really high quality videos. We don't want to be posting crappy quality videos. And by crappy quality, when I'm talking about food videos, I mean things where the lighting is really bad. I mean, and look, as I'm saying this, I'm almost like, no, you need to correct yourself, because there are plenty of videos that do well that actually don't look that amazing. But I suppose for me and for my personal style, I always think that lighting is really, really important. And I know on TikTok, it's not as crucial that videos look beautiful, but on Instagram, I do think it is important. And lighting is just such a key part of it. So shooting in natural light. So that means if you're working full time, you know, you got to shoot on the weekend, or you've got to shoot, maybe if it's daylight savings, you could shoot in the morning or after work, potentially, if there's enough light. But to be honest, in my house, like the best light is probably around 11 o'clock till 1 p.m. So I would try and shoot in those times. But of course, you know, you can make it work at other times as well. But once you start to get that grainy, kind of dull footage, or worse, if you're using artificial light, oh my God, the most delicious meal could look absolutely terrible under like an awful fluorescent, like stove light. You know what I mean? So lighting is a really key part of it. But also in terms of the quality aspects, I mean that you want to have the pacing right. You want to have some delicious shots of the food. You want to have like a bite shot of you biting into it. You want to be ideally as well. Something that I've been doing recently is now talking to the camera. So I will actually say, you know, here is this miso garlic butter pasta or something, or let's make this. And it actually adds another level of engagement, I would say, between yourself and the viewer when you are looking them in the eye, you know, through the camera, through the camera screen. But I mean, and you are actually talking, because up until recently, I've never done that. I've always done voiceovers, which I do think are really important as well for that connection, because when people see your face and they know your voice and you're actually in the video, that's how they get to know you. And that's how they feel like they have a relationship with you. So that's super important. But I hadn't really tried actually speaking to the camera when I was filming the videos until now. And I do think that probably is helping as well, because it's sort of proof that you are who you say you are in a way. You know, somebody can actually see that you have recorded yourself talking to the camera, and there's like a trust factor in that, right? Because they can see that you are, you know, who you say you are, your voice actually matches who you are. And when there's so many random shady things on the internet, you know, it's not like people don't believe that it's not your voice or whatever, but there's so many repost accounts and just, I don't know, people pretending to be not necessarily themselves, that you are building a bit of a trust if you are speaking directly to your audience. So that's another thing that maybe is a factor in some of these videos going viral. I don't know if it's 100%, because I've had lots of other videos in the past with voiceovers where I haven't been speaking directly to the camera do well as well, but you never know. And then going back to that point of variety and experimentation too, and yeah, again, trying to keep up with this volume, right? So I think it's really crucial not only to just follow like a gold vein when you find it, like I did with the creamy pasta, like that is good. Like, and having series of content is really good and something that I want to experiment with, because I haven't really done that so much where people do like episodic content. But you do want to mix it up, and don't think that just because you don't like a video that it's necessarily going to bomb. And also don't think just because you love a video that it's necessarily going to do well. And I talk about this in another podcast episode where I'm talking about mindset and like trying to be a little bit less emotionally attached to the outcomes of things, or a little bit less emotionally attached to the tasks that you're completing. And it is hard, especially in creative things where you're putting yourself out there, especially when your face is in the video, when your voice is in the video. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is don't feel shy, or like don't hold back content where you're like, oh, that's kind of like subpar content, like I don't want to post it. Just do it, because you never know what is going to work. Like for me, the one that really surprised me out of all of those videos that went viral was the chia mousse. When I filmed that, I had filmed it over a couple of days because I had sort of filmed one part of the content and then I forgot about it. And then I was like, oh shit, yeah, I've got to do the bite shot and like the finishing shot of the chia mousse with like the yogurt on top and the raspberries and things like that. And I was like, okay, cool, I better do that. Anyway, put it together. I had this sort of unusual opening shot where it's basically just a spoon going into the jar of the mousse and kind of swirling it around and lifting it up. And it was kind of a good shot because you can see the texture and consistency of the mousse, and it doesn't really look like a chia pudding at all. It looks like a chocolate mousse. But at the time I was like, oh, this kind of feels like a bit weak. It's not normally how I would open like a video or whatever. And it was a really pretty short reel. Normally my videos go between 15 and 25 seconds. And I think this one might've been like 13 seconds. Actually, you know, most of my videos, sorry, I'm going to correct that. Most of them are probably around the 18 second mark. I feel like that's my sweet spot. But anyway, this one was a little bit on the shorter side. I just felt like it wasn't that great, but then it ended up doing really, really well. And although it didn't perform the best out of all of those videos in terms of reach, because I think the cauliflower Alfredo got 5.1, the avocado pasta got 6.5, the tofu schnitzel got 4.5 million. And then that chia mousse got like 1.5. That one has had the most positive feedback though on my blog. And it's also driven like a lot of traffic to my blog, potentially more than some of the other ones did too. So it's funny because it's like, although that one wasn't the one that went the most viral, it actually ended up translating to more web traffic for me. And that might be because it's just such a piss easy recipe, to be honest, because it's literally just combining chia seeds, milk, vanilla, and like cocoa powder and a little bit of salt or something in a blender and then blending it up. Maybe because it was just so stupidly easy that it's like actually more people are more likely to go out and try it. But I felt like I got more direct feedback on how people love that recipe than I did on some of the other marginally more complicated recipes like avocado pasta and cauliflower Alfredo. Although granted, a lot of people did, you know, share photos and stuff of their recipes too. So you never know exactly, but in terms of the web traffic that I got on my website, I can see the insights on there. That one was actually one of the top performers. And then on the other hand, you never know when a video that you think is amazing and that is going to like change the world is just going to bomb too. So you don't really want to get like too attached to any of these videos. I thought that the video that I did on like pumpkin mac and cheese was going to perform better than it did, because typically like healthy takes on comfort food will do really well. That's something I've observed as well, just in terms of food content. And it didn't really perform. And I was like, oh, okay. And it actually took quite a while for me to film that one as well, because I think I got more attached to the idea that like, oh no, like pasta is like my thing now. But anyway, so it's all about like, yeah, being consistent, trying to find a cadence of posting that works for you, as much volume as you can without burning out and without dropping your quality standards, and then not getting too attached to any video as well. Like, you want to be really happy with your videos and personally know that you're like, awesome, I made this great video. I'm so happy with myself that I am being consistent and that I am posting it. And that is all you need to have. Like, in your heart of hearts, that's what will make you feel good. You need to like detach from whether or not it actually performs or not. Even though it is really cool when they go viral, it's like, and it is the best feeling as well, you need to just be focused on the process and not let yourself get too caught up in the numbers either. So it's like really hard because you're striking this balance, because you want to be like, oh my God, amazing, I'm so excited, like I'm over the moon, I'm like getting all these new followers and I'm going viral. And then on the other hand, you're like knowing that you are probably going to have these lulls again where your videos aren't going viral and you're really happy with the quality and you feel like you're doing everything right and it doesn't seem fair that they're not going viral. So it's sort of like you have to, at your core, be just happy with the content that you are making, happy with the skills that you are learning, and that what you're putting out there is adding value somehow. And then if they do go viral, and if you do get into this phase where you're like getting a lot of follower growth really quickly, then that's all kind of like a bonus feeling. Do you know what I mean? So it's like you can enjoy it and be excited by it. And I'm not saying like don't enjoy it when videos do perform really well, but just moderate your self-worth so that you are not putting all of your own value as a person, as a content creator, into the hands of other people, because otherwise it can become really disempowering and it's really hard to get through those phases where you aren't performing very well and you start to feel bad about yourself. So it's, yeah, striking that balance and, yeah, making sure that you are putting out random content that you're like, I don't think this is going to do very well, or content that you think is really awesome, just put it out either way. And you never know what's going to happen. The people will tell you what they think of the content. It's kind of like out of your hands. You know what I mean? So you just have to focus on doing the best job that you can at the cadence that you can comfortably keep working at. And then the rest of it is kind of up to the powers that be. That's at least the kind of approach that I am trying to take with my, well, not just Instagram, but like all content creation at the moment as well, is that like, I just need to be happy with the level that I'm producing at, the quality that I'm producing at, and then kind of letting go a little bit and just surrendering to whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We'll reassess if things aren't working and we'll form a new strategy, and just making sure that at the end of the day, you yourself are happy with the work that you're producing, and just detaching emotionally from it a little bit, because otherwise it can be a roller coaster for your mental health, especially on social media when like literally the apps are giving you dopamine hits constantly throughout the day as well. So it can be really, really hard to manage that otherwise. So just something to keep in mind, that your mental health is always the top priority, and to never let your performance on social media, or like, you know, the performance of your content on social media, determine your sense of self-worth, because it is absolutely nothing to do with you as a person. And you gotta like separate the two. Otherwise it becomes just, yeah, very, very emotionally tumultuous journey. So yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I should probably do an episode as well on mental health for content creators too, because it's definitely something that I struggled with a lot at the beginning, and feeling really bad about myself and like, you know, that things weren't working out for me and things like that when I wasn't seeing any growth. So, there's an idea for me. Anyway, I hope this episode was interesting. As a recap, make sure that you are always spotting trends. If you've seen a video that's done well that you have like a recipe for, if you're a foodie content creator, or that you think you could make a twist on, go for it. Always jumping onto like a trend or a theme is a good thing. But of course, you do want to have your own spin on it. You should never directly copy somebody. And then if you do see like, say, just a spike in your own views or in your saves or reach or whatever it is on a video, then try and replicate something about that video, whether it is maybe the length of the video, whether it is the hook that you use in the beginning of the video, whether it's the actual recipe, say, for example, or perhaps if you're in a different niche, maybe it's the topic that you were talking about or a particular product that you were showcasing. Try and experiment and see what it was about that video that did well and what you can replicate in other videos. And then, of course, the biggest tip that I can give you is just being consistent, posting your 3 videos a week, maintaining a really high level of quality or the highest level of quality that you can, and sticking with it and just detaching your emotions from the whole thing. That's going to help you in the long term keep going at this, because otherwise it's emotionally exhausting. Hope that episode was helpful for you guys, and I'll be doing some more on social media. So if you like this one, make sure you follow the potty. And yeah, thanks for being here. I will speak to you soon. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Thrive Diaries podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you could leave a star rating on Spotify or a written review on Apple Podcasts. And this is really the best way to support the show, because it improves our ranking in the algorithm. If you'd like more updates, be sure to follow me over on Instagram at vegandiaries with 3 underscores on the end, or join my mailing list on my website, vegan-diaries.com. Thank you so much for being here, and I will speak to you soon.